Hallelujah. Praise God. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will choose to rejoice. Everyone look to your neighbor on the right and tell him you got the power to choose. Turn to your neighbor on the left. You got the power to choose. If you don't choose, you lose. Hallelujah. The sacrifice of praise. Does everybody know that praise is a sacrifice? It is the greatest offering you can give to God. It's the greatest thing that you can show Him how grateful you are. It's called the sacrifice of praise. Why? Because your lips are the altar. You offer up that sacrifice. And as you continue to offer up that sacrifice, it's like a continuous flame that comes. It's a sweet aroma to the Lord. It is the greatest offering you can give to God, is your praise. Does everybody understand that? The Word says God is spirit. And that you and I are to praise Him in spirit and truth. It's amazing in how much spirit is removed. Spirit and truth. That's where we stand before Him. And self-examination. That's where we deny ourselves and want to enter into the Spirit, where Spirit, your Spirit, worships the Spirit of God, because God is Spirit. That's where connection is made. See, you can't worship Him by just truth. You must worship Him in Spirit, because He is Spirit. That's where connection is made. Other than that, people just worship to worship. But when you worship in spirit, contact is made and you change. It's amazing how easily we are enticed or swayed. When the greatest thing that you and I can do is offer up the sacrifice of praise to the one who created us. Out of His own breath, you are returning His breath. Does everybody understand it? Out of His own breath that He created me and you, you are returning His breath to Him. It is the most awesome, ultimate, highest honor you can give to Him, is the sacrifice of praise. That's why many people know truth, but they don't change. See, change is not made by truth. Change is made by putting truth into your life and practicing truth. So truth says, seek God with all of your heart and you will find Him. So when you begin to seek Him with all of your heart, you begin to enter another arena of realm that says, I am spirit, come be one with me. And when we become one with the Father in spirit, we change. When that occurs, there is no want. Everything is fulfilled. You don't look for anything. You don't want anything. You don't desire anything. Everything is removed. Because the connection is made. Contact has been touched. You have touched eternal life. And eternal life has touched you. And you have returned the breath that created you back to the Father. And there's a oneness. And it is a change. And there's no lack. There's no want. There's no desire. There is freedom. That's why the Word says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And the Lord is the Spirit. So when we worship in spirit and truth, you do everything you can to remove you, because you're the only thing that's in between God and spirit. Is everybody with me? So how do we remove ourselves? Well, we offer up the sacrifice of praise. Why? Because it puts self on the altar. So as it puts self on the altar, it begins to diminish self. And you're now offering up that praise to God. It is a glorious, wonderful thing. Because when His presence comes and surrounds you, you are healed. You are refreshed. You are in rejoice. You are at such a peace that nothing matters. But I can tell you that the enemy would love to interrupt. He interrupts anything that God is trying to do in your life. Confirmation. Hallelujah. So if God is, if God is trying to prevent interruption, that means there must be cooperation. And the more you practice something, the more you perfect it. Amen. Would you turn it? Let's go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Glory. Whew. In verse 12, what's that first word?
Blessed.
Everybody want to be blessed?
Amen.
Anybody want to be cursed? Blessed is the man who what?
Endures.
Endures in temptation. Blessed is the man who can overcome temptation. How many of y'all know you're being tempted all the time?
Amen.
How many of you know you got tempted while you were in here?
Amen.
How many of y'all know you got tempted to stop praising and worshiping?
Amen.
Does everybody get this? We get tempted to stop because the enemy wants to interrupt God. Does everybody get that? Okay, so, blessed is the man who endures, who overcomes. Can you lower my mic just a little? Blessed is the man who endures temptation. He overcomes it. He says no to that temptation. For when he has been approved, he what? He what? He receives the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. God will not tempt you, but he will test you. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his what? Own desires. How many of you know that an emotion is a desire? That he's drawn away by his own desires and what? Enticed. So the enemy wants to entice me and you all the time. Temptation is at every corner. Temptation is at every thought. And when God sends a beautiful thought, temptation follows it. Does everybody understand that? Because the enemy tries to follow everything God is trying to do to what? Disrupt it. That's his job. And he does it very well. The problem is God's people are destroyed for lack of discernment there. They're not seeing it. They're not sensing it. They're just taking every thought and going with it. Now, verse 15. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to what? Sin. So in other words, it gives birth to the presence of evil. So evil now has accessed. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Death. So we see something that everyone goes through this. No one is exempt. No one. But God honors those who endure. He will reward those who endure. It says it. But those who do not endure, those who are easily enticed, he will not reward. God does not reward disobedience. He rewards obedience. Now, it doesn't mean that you will have nothing. It means he provides what you need, even in disobedience. Does everybody get it? Because his love is unconditional. He provides what you need. Now, here's the other thing. The enemy comes and steals everything that God is providing. So then people fall into what? Lack. They lack. Turn to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28. The Lord gives us here guidelines of favor, blessing, protection. Favor, blessing, and protection. Would you read it with me in verse 1? Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. Hello. So if there's lack, then there's disobedience. There's not obeying of his voice. Verse 2. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall you be the fruit of your body, and the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall be when you come in, and blessed shall be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you and your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to who? himself, just as he has sworn to you. If you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. You know, one of the things that I think individuals begin to neglect, that God sees all and knows all. That should be over every door. God sees all and knows all. Verse 10. Then all the peoples on the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, and in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, and in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. So you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods, or to serve them. So we see here there's a guideline of favor, blessing, and protection. He says that we're to be the head, not the tail. Amen? We're the head, not the tail. Now, the only way to be the head is if he's the head. That's why we must be headless. Amen? Many people are walking around upside down. They got a head. They got a tail instead of a head. We are to be above, not beneath. He's talking about living in the worldly environment, that we are to be above. We are to be headless so that he is the head, always allowing Christ to be the head. So if we allow him to always be the head in everything that we do, these guidelines are not burdensome. Does everybody understand that? They become burdensome when you try to do it in your own strength, because you cannot do it in intellect. Does everybody get you do it in the Spirit? So without the Spirit of God in our life, without the presence of God, we're weak. We rely on intellect instead of leading of the Spirit. And that's one of the things the enemy always wants to try to do, is keep you in an intellectual state and not a surrender state. Because the intellectual state fights. It's always surviving. In the Spirit state, you're surrendering. Is everybody okay? Go to Psalm 15. In verse 1, Lord, who may abide in your presence or your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill or your presence? Here's another guideline he gives. Why? Because without the presence of God, we're nothing. He says, he who walks uprightly and works righteousness, speaks the truth in his heart. In other words, he examines himself. He always sees that God sees all and knows all. The Lord is always before him. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, and whose eyes a vile person is despised. In other words, this person judges fruit. Does everybody understand that? I had somebody come up to me, man, why are you judging me? I'm not judging you. I'm judging your fruit. If you would judge yourself, you wouldn't be judged. And the Lord says, judge the fruit. We should be all fruit inspectors. Amen? Because you don't want to hang around with a rotten tree. It says, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who what? Fear the Lord. It's amazing how many people honor rebellion and disobedience. They honor it. They welcome it with arms. Oh, hi, honey. Oh, you know. Yes, I know you're sleeping with this person, but we love you anyways. It says to despise those things. Does everybody understand it? Look, I love you, but I ain't staying. I love you, but this is not a part of me. I will pray for you, but I don't hang with you. Does everybody understand that? It's amazing how many people hug rebellion and love it. And what are they doing? Let me tell you, then you approve it. You approve rebellion, you approve disobedience. Does everybody get this? What kind of message does that give to that person? Then they can continue to go on. Why? Because they can continue to go on thinking that there is no consequence. Hello? How many of y'all know there's a law called sow and reap? That's what you do, there's a consequence. God rewards good behavior. Amen? He does not reward bad behavior. Bottom line. So these are guidelines. It says here, very powerful. Verse 4 again, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not what? Change. I don't care what you say. I don't care what's going on. I am not changing. I'm going to stand for what the Bible says and what truth says. Amen? That's what we stand. He does not change. And he who does not put out his money at usury. In other words, he doesn't manipulate with money. Nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall not be what? They'll never be moved. Move from what? Move from God's presence. Move from his favor. Move from his blessings. Move from his protection. Listen, when things are being taken from you, there's an open door somewhere. Now, somebody you know might be a part of you. Hey, the devil will use anyone to steal from you. Amen? It doesn't matter. But God will make the enemy restore sevenfold what the enemy stole from you. As long as you're not at fault. Amen? So these are guidelines to maintain his favor, blessing, and protection. In other words, no matter what we're going through, we must maintain a Christ-like integrity. In 1 Peter chapter 5. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. Now, there's two spirits I want to speak about today, and they walk hand in hand. Their name is resentment and regret. Resentment and regret. They are major interrupters. In verse 6, it says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may what? Exalt you in due time. Casting your what? Your cares, all your cares upon him, for he what? He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may what? Devour. These cares are known as weights. Sometimes they're things not understood. How many all know an offense is a care? How about sickness? Amen? How about debt? See, these are all cares that were to cast upon him. So many times we're trying to fix it all ourselves. What we have to do is cast it on him and let him release it in how he wants to. See, because when we try to fix it ourselves, it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. We go in cycles. We go in circles. Casting your cares, your weights, things. Listen, you don't have to understand everything, but you got to trust him in everything. The enemy will cause a breach all the time. That's what he's looking for, to cause a breach and separation from God's promises and guidelines. He comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came to bring life and life abundantly. So many individuals have been taken captive by darkness and don't even realize it. In fact, they don't even care. They don't even care. And eventually they're going to end up in such an array and captivity and dirt and so forth that they're going to hit that wall of reality, and it's going to come real hard and real strong, because nobody gets away with anything. Nobody. Amen? Nobody. In Matthew 24, you know, one of the things that the enemy likes to do is to get us to get an individual to interrupt God's will. And he does it. He does it very well. In Matthew 24, in verse 9, it says, then they will deliver you up to tribulation, and they will kill you. And you will be what? You'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be what? Offended. Many will be what? Offended. And they will what? Betray, because they were what? Offended. And then they will hate. And then it says that many false prophets will rise up and what? Deceive. So I want you to understand something. There's a correlation here. Offense, betrayal, and deception. But he says something wonderful. He says, and because lawlessness will abound, in other words, it's going to produce disobedience and rebellion, that many will grow cold in their love. They'll be more selfish, selfish ambition, lovers of self, lovers of money. He said, but he who what? Endures. There it is again. He who endures to the end will be what? Saved. Will be rescued. Will make it home. So again, the Lord has given us guidelines because of the enticing that's happening. It's intensifying more and more. As we get closer to the closing of the age of grace, more and more is being released. You can sense it. You can taste it. You can feel it. You can feel bitterness. You can feel heaviness. You can feel it all over. But I'll tell you, if you stay in the presence of God, it's not touching you, even though you sense it. Offense, betrayal, hatred, deception, lawlessness, coldness. These are attacks that cause attachments. These are attacks of the enemy to try to attach you to these spirits. And these are things that we must cut loose of. In Proverbs 18, you know what? We are in a nation where children are being brought up with no consequences. Does everybody understand that, what I'm saying? In other words, because there's no consequences in the arena. So many things are taken out of schools. No consequences. Man, when I was young, a couple weeks ago, consequences were intense. Not only through my family, but even in school. Man, you did something stupid, man. You were thrown out, expelled. I got expelled quite a bit. I had consequences. Amen. And in this, right now, there's kids are doing whatever, not realizing, they're not even seeing the consequence. Kids are going to jail for shooting someone for $5. There is no consequence. There's no understanding of an end result that your life can end by a stupid decision. It could be over with forever. I'm watching on TV 14 and 13-year-old kids going to life for prison. In prison for murder because of no sense of consequence, no sense of nothing. It's like, duh. And I believe that's because of the spirits that are here now. They're interfering with our children and even our adults. People doing things that they don't even see the end. There's like, oh, I'll just do whatever. I'll hope on a good thing. Not even seeing how many people they're hurting, what they're doing, and what's going on. No consequences in their life. None. But they're easily offended. Oh, my goodness. Because they live out of the soul, not out of the spirit. They're all emotional over everything. Anyway, Proverbs 18. Are we there yet? Hallelujah. Verse 19. Look at this. Read it with me. A brother offended is what? Harder to win than a strong city. And contentions are like the bars of a castle. Oh my goodness. In other words, captivity. Captivity. Wow. Hallelujah. Go to Matthew 6. Offense, resentment, regret. It always produces bitterness. When a person is bitter, it's an open door to all evil. Matthew 24. Matthew 6, I'm sorry. Matthew 6, verse 14. Matthew 6, thank you. Is everybody there? Let's read it. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Amen? So forgiveness is a need. You know what? Think about this. It started with forgiveness and it ends with forgiveness. We asked God for forgiveness, didn't we? Now we must maintain forgiving others. The problem is that when people forgive, they still hold on to the emotional attachment of resentment. That is an emotional attachment. I forgive, but there's still an emotional attachment of resentment. Anybody ever regret what they've done? Yeah. Everyone here has regretted what they've done. But you can't allow it to be attached to you. That's why you must forgive yourself. So many people still hate themselves. I hate the old man. Can't stand that dude. He's always interfering with my life. I try to bury him every single day. Man, I'm telling you. I get a bigger shovel, baseball bat. The only thing that works is the word. And God's presence that fills, and separate. And he can't touch me. So forgiveness should be automatic for me and you. Amen? And everything we do, no matter what. And when you sense the reattachment of regret or resentment coming, you got to cut it loose. You can't allow it to reattach. Remember, those are the emotional attachment spirits that love to reattach to us. Why? Because its end result, it will produce the fruit of bitterness. And where there's bitterness, all evil is there. They get fed by bitterness. Now, I want you to understand that pride will protect all of it. Oh, pride thinks it's better than anything. It thinks it's above everything. pride. It's above it all. I don't need to do that. I don't need to do that. I don't need to submit. I don't need to say that. I don't need to do I. I think somebody else said that. His name was Lucifer. And Jesus said, you're going to the pit, homie. Luke 6. Resentment and regret. These are emotional attachment spirits that need to be dealt with on a daily basis. Because if they're not cut loose, you will have bitterness and it will interfere with your decisions. Nothing worse than making a decision on resentment, regret, or bitterness, or pride. Its end result is destruction. Luke 6, is everybody there? Verse 37. Therefore, hold on a second. Yeah, 37. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put in your bosom. For with the same measure that you use it, it will be measured back to you. Now listen, I want you to see the connection here. It says what? Judge, don't judge someone. Is everybody with me? You're not condemning a person. Does everybody understand it? When you judge fruit. He's talking about condemning a person. He goes on to, we'll go there. But I want you to see the connection here. He says, forgive and you'll be forgiven. Then it goes right to what? Give and it will be given to you. Why? Because what's preventing growth, increase, and promotion? Not forgiving, holding resentment, bitterness, amen? Judging others and not judging yourself first. You know, what does the word say? Pull the national forest out of your own eye before you pull the trunk out of someone else's. Amen? Let's go a little further. And he spoke a parable to them. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. Does everybody get that? Everyone that is perfectly what? Trained. So are we being trained? Believe me, it doesn't stop. Training brings reigning. It brings endurance. It brings overcoming. If you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to train you, you will never advance. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the plank in your own eye? And how can you say to your brother, brother, let me remove the speck that's in your eye, when you have the national forest in your own? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly whether there's a problem to remove the speck that's in your brother's eye. Does everybody get that? So you're not judging by, you're not condemning a person, you judge by fruit. But how can you judge other fruit if you're not willing to judge your own? If you're not willing to judge your own fruit, then there's resentment. If you're not willing to bring self-examination to yourself, there's resentment, there's pride, there's bitterness. Because you're trying to make yourself above someone else. And doesn't it say, humble yourself under the mighty hand? Does everybody get this? So we're to stay humble. You know, it takes humbleness and humility to offer the sacrifice of praise. You got to be willing to let go and let God. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. You know, there are many people in the body of Christ right now that are in poverty because they still hold regret and resentment. Many. And God has been trying to get them out, but they won't let go. In verse 25, Ephesians 4, let's speak it. Therefore, putting away what? Lying. This doesn't mean lying down. It means not telling the truth. Put away lying. Let each of you speak truth to his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but don't what? Sin. It's okay to get angry, but it's a righteous anger. But in other words, don't allow the presence of evil to influence that anger. Allow righteousness to influence that anger. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the what? The to the devil. Why? Because any of these things give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who is in need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not what? Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Now he's going to explain what grieves him. You want the presence of God to lift you quickly? Here it is. Because once the presence of God lifts from you, another presence replaces it. And it ain't God. Are you ready? Here's the first one. What does it say? Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Be angry, but not with the presence of evil. Maintain tender-hearted. In other words, individuals that are not tender-hearted, they're not allowing God to deal with them, and their hearts become hardened. And the more a person's heart becomes hardened, the more lack of they lose that sensitive of conviction. They lose that sensitive area. They're not sensitive to the Spirit of God. They're more sensitive to evil presence. So they have a tendency to obey evil presence than they do the presence of God. Does everybody understand this? Listen, we need to grab hold of this because it is afflicting the kingdom tremendously. We need to lose the head. Remember, we shared about God raising a headless army. I can't tell you enough, man. I saw the crowd of people. There's a big crowd of people. And slowly, other people were merging to the front. And I began to realize the ones that were merging to the front were headless. And the ones that had heads on were merging to the back. And the Spirit said to me, those are the ones where I'm the head. The ones that are in the back still live out of their mind. They live out of their intellect. But the ones in the front live out of the Spirit. I thought, whoa. See, you can't live out of the Spirit with resentment. You can't live out of the Spirit with anger. You can't live out of the Spirit with pride. You can't live out of the Spirit with regret. You can't live out of the Spirit by living from your past. You can't. You can have all the emotions, but not the sensitivity. There's a difference. In Proverbs 19, many people walk around with bitter and anger and pride and arrogance, and it's spreading like cancer. And it's amazing how people are approving of it. Proverbs 19, is everyone there? Verse 11, would you read it with me? Proverbs 19. Is everybody okay? Let's speak it. The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a what? Transgression. Wow. The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger. In other words, if you have a Christ-like in character, you are preventing. You look to prevent these things of happening. So when you are afflicted, you're not afflicted with resentment, regret, bitterness, or anger. Your purpose is to expose truth. Amen? Express truth and expose evil. Slow to anger. That's why so many people get involved. They react instead of respond. And when they react, they sow to the flesh, and then they grieve the Holy Spirit, and the enemy's got access to them. Galatians 1. Galatians chapter 1. Resentment and regret. In verse 6, Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Let's speak it. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. To a what? Different gospel. Remember he said many will fall from the faith by deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. That's called a different gospel. Which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ by trying to alter. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be what? A curse. Anybody want a curse on you? Start preaching a different gospel. So if people preach that same-sex marriage is okay, abortion is okay, pride is okay, bitterness is okay, resentment's okay, none of that's okay. Works of the flesh are not okay. Amen? And we're not to approve of those things. We're to bring forth truth and expose it. But even if our Even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be what? Accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. One of the things that happens is an individual will please man and then regret by what they've agreed with man. Does everybody get that? You know, even in relationships, so many people regret their previous marriages or even their marriages now. But they regret certain things that they've done. They regret lending money to someone. They regret, does everybody understand it? Because it was associated with pleasing a man or a person. And then it came back on them. And they regret having, even the Lord regretted creating man. Does everybody remember that? Well, and he killed them all. So he got rid of his regret. But we can't go around doing that stuff, you know. Hallelujah. So, but we can allow regret to lead in an area of resentment, then bitterness, then hatred, and so forth. But we can't allow that. We must sever ourselves from the decisions that we've made. Amen? Okay, every one of us has made a wrong decision. Well, then you sever it. Why? Because that spirit of regret will constantly torment you. It will promote resentment and bitterness. And you will stay in that flood that the enemy constantly comes, and then you'll try to get above that flood with pride. But it doesn't work. You stay in that pit and drown until you finally truly forgive and cut that emotional attachments. Does everybody get that? Why? What does he say? Cast your cares. Quit holding on to it. It's like giving somebody a 40-pound block and say, step in the water. It's 100 feet deep. Let's see if you can survive. And don't let go of the block. That's what that does. It sinks people. It kills them. And what does it do? It allows the enemy to come and steal, kill, and destroy. And then the voices from hell come. Man, they're all over the place. And then you try to answer all the voices, and you even get more confused. Because there's so many of them. And you're trying to justify this voice, this, that, and man, you're just drowning. Till finally you hit the wall of reality. Because it ain't working. It's not working, and I'm losing everything. I'm not advancing. I'm not joyful. I'm not at peace. I'm not at rest. I'm not trusting. I'm working it out myself. I'm not letting go. Something's wrong. I'm in survival. I'm not in surrender. Does everybody understand that? All of those areas are telling us, hello, open doors. Let's shut them. Let's get out of it. Praise God. We are to turn away from offense, unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment, regret, and stop pleasing man and start pleasing God. Amen? We need to base our decisions according to the gospel of truth. That's how we base our decision. Again, resentment will manifest bitterness because a person is refusing to let go. Cast cares. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. What it does is, it brings a person back into demon management instead of freedom. And they try and manage those spirits. And man, it is tough. That's why people go back to alcohol and drugs. Because they can't manage those spirits. They go back to drinking. They go back to doing dope. They go back to fornication. They go back to the world. And sometimes the only thing that stops them is prison or death. So many people got to get arrested, busted, or end up in the hospital to stop. Or lose everything, become homeless. Hallelujah. In Romans 12. You know, many times an individual get to a point where they want vengeance. Kill them, Lord! Did you see what they did to me? Hallelujah. Man, you read some of David's Psalms, some of those are pretty close to it, I'll tell you. Hallelujah. Romans 12, verse 9. Let's read it together. Let love be without what? Hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. distributing to the needs of the saints, giving to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If possible, let me say that again. If possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men, even though your neighbor's stealing from you. Beloved, do not avenge yourself. Oh, glory. Do not avenge yourself. I didn't say think it. Many people think it. Just don't do it. Cast that thought out. Remove that resentment, that regret, that bitterness. Let go. Let God give it over. Bless and forgive and move forward. Why? God will restore everything back as long as you keep your little paws out of it. Verse 19, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Praise God, by being nice. Do not be overcome by evil, but what? Overcome evil with good. And I'm going to close at Psalm 43. 43. Resentment and regret. You know, when a person is involved they get into a place where they are emotionally drained. They're so emotionally drained and physically, that's how sickness will come too. There's a character change in an individual. Psalm 43. Is everybody okay? See, so some people are forgiven but still hold resentment. You got to let it go. Resentment is the emotional attachment. Regret is the emotional attachment. Amen? Bitterness will kill you. Same thing as pride. 43, would you read it with me? Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For you are the God of my strength. Why do you cast me off? Why do we go mourning? Because of the oppression of the enemy. How many of y'all know that people involved in it are oppressed? Terribly brought down. Oh, send your what? Your light and your truth. What's he asking for? He's asking for eternity to come. Send your light and your truth, because I know that only your presence, the eternal presence of God, can rescue me from this. Can remove this. I cast the stuff. I cut it loose from me. I sever myself from the emotional attachments of resentment and regret and bitterness. And this will, why? Because his presence won't come until you cut those loose. People are waiting to get touched by God, but they're still allowing the touch of all evil around them. God said, I ain't coming until you let go of that touch. Then you and I will touch. Oh, send your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your what? Holy ear and to your tabernacle where his what? Presence is. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. See, now the joy is restored. And I will, on the harp, I will praise you, O God, my God. Why you cast down, O my soul, and why you have disquieted with me in me. Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Hallelujah. Remember, regret, resentment will produce bitterness. Pride is the protector. The Lord has already given us the victory. He's our avenger. We got to trust in him. Cut loose the garbage and walk in the Spirit. Lose your head and become the head and not the tail. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We continue to cast our cares upon you, for you care for us. We hold fast to your truth. So bring your truth and your light to each and every one of us here today. And guide us in the path of your righteousness, that we may be well-pleasing to you, and that we may honor you, the true sacrifice of praise, in spirit and in truth, in Jesus' name.